Fan-run radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Russell Smith punching the time clock once again after a week's vacation, tanned, rested, and relaxed. Two out of three ain't bad. Hey, we can't all be relaxed on an Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange. No wisecrack about how I go to the beach for a week and come back whiter?
No, you're...
Did you lose your fastball while I was gone?
Your track record and statements on melanoma are pretty well known, Russ. I imagine you were wearing like 300.
SPF 50.
You do, in my opinion, you do look a little darker. Just
no,
a little.
Doesn't.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I think so.
Yeah. Hey, I thought of something this weekend. Are we doing No Shave November? Coming up.
I don't know, man. I said I was going to do it last year, and
You bailed, man. People like you with the beard, dude.
I'm too old for the beard, you know? I don't know. Maybe I'm too young not to have the beard. I don't know. What is the beard associated with? I just couldn't get to it. I think some people – just I have to go through that two-week period of looking like the freaking wolf man, like an unkempt hobo.
Oh, you
until
look fine.
The beard comes anyway. What an absolute blessing to be back. I missed you guys.
We missed you.
I missed you, Bear. I missed you, Brandon Orrick. I missed you, Rick Butler. Well, not so much Rick, but Brandon, I really missed you, buddy.
Missed you too, Russ.
Thanks for working and covering for me, and what an absolute blessing Saturday was. You know, we needed that so badly around here. And it doesn't matter what kind of a train wreck Auburn is right now, and they are. We'll get into that a little bit later. But this town, this school, this fan base needed that so badly. And, you know, this was getting said to be a pretty dreary second half of the season, man. You get drilled by Auburn, drilled by Bama. Who knows what our psyche is like heading into South Carolina. Kentucky's looking better. Missouri's scoring like 50 points a game when they're not playing Alabama. Like, it was getting set to be a really just, you know, kind of lame season. And all of a sudden, no matter what happens the rest of the way, you've got one game that you can hang your hat on, one win that you can go and you can sell to recruits, you can give your fans some hope. You can, who knows? Maybe now the math has flipped. Maybe South Carolina's reeling all of a sudden. They've lost two of their last three. Maybe you steal that game in Columbia. Who knows what Kentucky's going to look like by the time they come here? Who knows how Missouri responds to getting their brains beat in by Alabama over the weekend? Who knows, man? The bowl game is definitely back on the table right now for Tennessee. Every game after this week is winnable to me. It's also losable. But again, it's just so sweet to have something tangible, an actual road win against an SEC West opponent to point to as evidence that, hey, this is working.
You know what's still on the table, Russ?
What's that?
My theory.
Your theory.
9-3.
Technically, yes. And I pointed that out after the Georgia game, Bear. To be fair, it's not my style to pat myself on the back and say I told you so. But I did. I did point out immediately after Georgia. Hey, 9-3 is still mathematically possible. But again, it's just so sweet, man, to have you know, we're making some progress here. We're not as bad as we feared coming out of the Florida game. We certainly haven't arrived yet by any stretch of the imagination. Nobody's crowning Jeremy Pruitt as the next Nick Saban. But, man, it feels good to get a W and have the whole country take note. Hey, look at Tennessee. What Tennessee did over the week. Wow. Didn't know they had that in them. Okay. Maybe there's something to this Pruitt guy. Jarrett Garantano named SEC Offensive Player of the Week today for his outstanding effort. 21 of 32, 328 yards passing, two touchdowns against Auburn. Kyle Phillips named SEC Defensive Lineman of the Week. He tallied a career-high 9 tackles in the game, half a sack, and a forced fumble on that play that led to, my opinion, the defining moment of that game where momentum truly swung in our favor. You scored a defensive touchdown, and, you know, Steve Spurrier always talked about it. It's one of his Sun Tzu, the Art of War principles. You have a sudden change like that. You score a defensive touchdown, and boom, it's like knocking somebody down in a fight. Like, it changes the entire complexion of the game sometime, and I thought that's exactly what that was right there. So
we were getting after it pretty good at that point.
Yeah. I mean, and that went from Auburn just being, oh, we're piddling around, but we'll turn it on, to like, whoa, wait a minute.
We're in a game.
Yeah. Not only are we in a game, but
we're getting whipped.
It's not looking good. Yeah. Like, I don't know if we can get out of it. And they couldn't. So here's my question to lead off. Jeremy Pruitt was asked today, and he had a really good quote. I'll try and go find the exact quote for you. But he was asked, you know, how do you feel about things at the halfway point? We're halfway through the season now. And he said, well, it's not like I sat around all summer saying, man, I hope we're 3-3 at the midway point. I thought that was a great – that was an alpha male quote, right?
Yeah.
But realistically – and I know Bear thought we were 9-3. He thought we were going to beat West Virginia and Florida and all kinds of stuff. Like, Brandon,
I had a theory.
Honestly, if I told you in July, or forget that, if I told you after the West Virginia game that you would be 3-3 at the midway point,
oh, I would have taken it.
I think I said we were,
because you would have assumed that you would have beaten Florida, right?
Right.
You know, we don't know at the point, like, what the 3 wins, 3 losses are going to be, but I think we all would have assumed that, okay, well, that means we'll probably lose to West Virginia, Auburn, and Georgia. I think we'd have had to have taken it 3-3. Rick, would you have taken 3-3 at the midway point? Yeah.
I was looking more for 4-2, because I was winning 2 of these games.
I know you were, Bear. I know you were. That's
and
why
I told
I y'all
we'd win at least 1. I knew there was no way Pruitt was going to lose to all 4 of these guys. I thought if he had anything at all.
You kind of trailed off there.
That was it. Oh. If he had anything at all, period, in the tank as a coach, he'd figure out a way to win one of those.
Figure out a way to win one of those games. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think we're in pretty good shape. All of a sudden, I think we all are penciling in Charlotte as a win. There's 4. I think that Vandy is very winnable. I would love to see those FPI projections that we saw a couple of weeks ago.
Updated one now?
Yeah, where it said, like, we were favored. What was it? Were we favored to lose every game except for Charlotte?
Yes. Yeah.
Surely we're favored to beat Vanderbilt now, right?
I don't know.
Might be kind of a 50-50 proposition.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't pay much attention to those things, though, because they're computers and they don't take – I mean, the one thing that they don't factor in is,
you can't measure heart. You can't measure heart.
Well, no, you complete dumbass. What I was going to say is they don't measure in development and whether or not a football team is developing as the season goes on. I mean, it's just a snapshot of where we were at when they made, you know, crunch the numbers.
I love the development of individual players on this team. And I'm not just talking about Kyle Phillips, who's finally starting to show progress, in Congo, bless his heart, who finally is heavy, stringing together 2 decent games. He had, what, like 10 tackles in the last 2 games, and now he's gone for the season.
Tennessee.
But, you know, even guys like – you saw Marquill Osborne out there making plays with the game on the line. A guy that, like most people, kind of written off. He was a four-star recruit. People forget that. Coming out of North Carolina as a defensive back, people kind of like, eh, whatever. He's been passed up by all these freshmen. And there he is. Development, man. Development. Darren Kirkland Jr., as poorly as he's been played this season, no, he's around the ball. He's fighting. He's hanging in there. He's getting better. Several guys. DeAndre Johnson with the huge sack. A guy that you saw is like, okay, he's got some speed. He's got some burst, but he can't finish. He finished in a huge play, getting you a sack on fourth down.
Was he the one that Pruitt, like, was chewing on the sideline?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was the guy that
– He wanted DeAndre to look him in the eye.
Yeah, look at me when I'm talking to you, boy.
He said, son's what he said.
So, yeah, I mean, you're seeing the light come on.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
For
like,
some of those guys.
Whatever computer thing you're referencing, they don't take that into account.
Nigel Warrior, too.
Yeah,
that's
really
what
good
I was
going to
say.
And it just makes you wonder, okay, we're seeing that development translate now against Georgia and Auburn. What's it going to be like towards the end of the season if we can keep these guys healthy and we're not playing these great teams, or at least teams with, you know, we're playing teams that athletically we match up better with on paper and probably have an advantage against in terms of just athleticism?
Somebody put out a stat. I'll try and go back and find it just so I can give them credit for it. But do you realize we've not had a senior? We're the only country and the only team in the country that hasn't had a senior take an offensive snap this year.
Oh, there's no way that's true. There's no way that's true. We haven't had a senior take an offensive snap?
Mm-mm.
Madre London.
I'll have to look up who it was. It was somebody with, like, it was blue checked. It wasn't just
a senior. Are there any senior offensive linemen even on the roster? I don't think there's been a senior offensive. Eli Wolf is a senior, right? Or is he a junior?
I think he's a junior, isn't he?
Okay. Wow. That's,
let me see if I liked it.
That's incredible, man. That's incredible. I mean, the point is we're a young team. Very, very young. All these guys are coming back, and they're all developing. Folks, we got to take a quick timeout. It's Overreaction Monday, presented by the Phone Exchange, on top of Bearden Hill, right next to Soccer Taco. Go check them out. Tell them the Drive sent you. Knoxville's easiest place and best place to buy, sell, and trade pre-owned phone. You take your old phones up there, they'll buy them from you. You walk out with the money at the Phone Exchange, right on top of Bearden Hill. They've also got locations in Murfreesboro and Chattanooga. Check out the Phone Exchange. We'll be right back. Open it up for phone calls, 865-546-8200. If you want to jump on board, 546-8200. The Drive continues on Fox Sports Knoxville.
The Drive. Overreaction Monday on The Drive is presented by the Phone Exchange, Knoxville's easiest place to buy, sell, or trade pre-owned phones. Now, back to The Drive.
Your Rocky Top Report is brought to you by Bo Kregner, the Kregner Group, the Mortgage Pro, Chris Burleson, Tennessee, back out on the practice field this afternoon. Number one, Alabama.
Roll down tide.
Coming to town Saturday, 3:30 kickoff. CBS has the national telecast. Alabama opens up as a 28.5-point favorite. Not that bad. That was my first thought. I saw, like, I was just assuming it would be 30 or more. 28.5, not that bad.
That was the same as, that was Missouri's line against them.
Okay. They're coming here. Missouri had to go there. Tua probable with a knee injury. Saban said today that he's going to practice. Tua Tagovailoa got his knee twisted up. Apparently he had been tweaked it coming into the game, and then he tweaked it against Missouri and had to go to the magic tent where they performed some sort of sacred Indian ritual to heal him, and now he's ready to go again.
Is that what they're calling tramadol these days?
Even if Tua couldn't go, I mean, does that change anything?
Jalen Hurts is more than capable. He already has come up here and walked a, you know, walked a hole in us and then stomped it dry before.
The only thing I say, and I'm not trying to get anybody's hopes up. I'm not living in la-la land. I think we're going to get drilled. But that game 2 years ago, my memory of the 2016 Alabama game is Hurts just running left, right, left, right. And
Bo Scarborough.
You know, my pet peeve, Bear, is about those. We couldn't set the edge.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's one of your triggers.
Pruitt's fixed that.
Yeah, we set an edge now.
We set an edge consistently. So, like, I don't know. Maybe if Hurts comes out there and they did the same thing, which they probably won't because they've progressed since then, but, like, instead of 30-yard runs around the side, and they'd be, like, 10-yard runs.
Yeah. I mean, Auburn, on that first drive, they ate us alive on some runs.
Yep. So, yeah, they did. So,
and he's got them, and we're so hyper-aggressive now that, you know, the boys kind of bite on stuff that they shouldn't.
Garantano, SEC player, Offensive Player of the Week. Kyle Phillips, SEC Defensive Lineman of the Week. Jonathan Kongbo, out for the year, torn ACL. Boy, I mean, that's he was just in pain. I felt so sorry for him.
That's why I thought it wasn't going to be that serious, because that's a deal with, especially with ACLs, the more it hurts sometimes, the better it is, because it means
it's a hyperextension instead of a pop.
It's either hyperextension, and it hasn't sheared through the whole ligament and sheared the nerves, and that's why those guys don't really feel it, and they're able to walk on them.
And he's a senior, you know, there's no chance of him coming back next year.
I mean, they could petition, that's, I guess, couldn't they?
Yeah, it
sucks. For hardship?
Yeah, it sucks for the kid, because I did think, and maybe he was never going to live up to the immense hype that he had coming in as King Kongbo from the Congo with five-star, you know, just, but he was settling in.
Yeah, he really needed this year to show that he was developing as a, you know, as a football player.
He was becoming a productive player.
So that he could improve his draft stock.
Other injuries, and Jeremy Pruitt would not update these individually. Kongbo was the only one he talked about. But Jameer Johnson left that game in the first half with an ankle injury. Did not return. Jerome Carvin left that game.
That's
so
not
we're
good.
Yeah, we're dinged up.
What was Carvin? Was he?
I don't know. I don't know what his injury was. But
which one of the who was it who DWA, Dominic Wood, in it.
He pulled a hamstring, evidently. I mean, that looked like a hamstring from my vantage point. And that's always that's usually a couple of weeks to get back. And then Abernathy, who did not play against Auburn. We'll see what his availability is moving forward. One other football note for you. The South Carolina game announced today a 7:30 kickoff.
South Carolina's at 7:30?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Is it?
Hell yeah.
I was kind of hoping it would be another noon game since it worked so well Saturday.
No. I want South Carolina.
You want to play down there at night?
I want to play at night. I want to bring the noise.
I feel like it's better. You catch them at noon. Nobody's tailgated. The team might be a little bit weary. You know, the crowd's a little bit late to arrive. Pruitt, and I've heard many coaches say this, you don't have to sit around at the hotel all day waiting to go to the stadium to play the game. I feel like that's a major advantage to South Carolina. Just my opinion, playing in the evening.
Yeah, I think so too. I secured my tickets last night, though.
Oh, you're going to Columbia?
Yep.
On my trip.
I had after the Florida game, I said I'm not going to another one. They reeled me back in.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. On my trip, I traveled through Columbia both the past two Saturdays, and they are playing, I guess, Missouri at home that first week, and that was a crazy rain delay game, evidently, and I got caught up in all that traffic. And then yesterday or Saturday, coming through, and they're playing Texas A&M, saw a bunch of Aggies out there, but they're not—they're a hard team to get a read on. South Carolina. I don't know what to make.
We've never beaten Crazy Eyes.
No, we haven't, have we?
Huh.
We'll see. 7:30 kickoff. SEC Network will have the telecast for that one. What basketball note for you here on the Rocky Top Report? Jordan Bone, one of 20 players named to the 2019 Bob Cousy Point Guard of the Year Award watch list.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, usually I don't make a big deal of the watch list because there's so many of them, and it's usually like the Naismith Award will be like, there'll be like 200 guys on it. It's like, psh, so what? You know, if you score more than 10 points a game, you're going to be on that watch list. 20 guys.
Yeah, that's
20 point guards in the country, and Bone is, that's pretty good recognition.
Yeah, he's one of the, I think he deserves.
And Barnes has said several times this offseason that he is the most improved player on the team. Jordan Bone. So I am, yeah, I mean, that's going to be huge, especially with not having any depth, no natural dedicated backup point guard there, and just kind of the committee thing that we're going to do, evidently, with Turner and Bowden backing him up there. We need him to be one of the 20 best point guards in college basketball if we're going to live up to the hype this year. That is the Rocky Top Report. It's brought to you by the Kregner Group. Folks, if you're thinking about moving, you need to sell your home, call my guy, Bo Kregner, with the Kregner Group. At the Kregner Group, they're committed to delivering the highest quality real estate service possible. Look, they know selling your home, how stressful a process that is, but they are professionals at the Kregner Group, and they'll take all that stress off your shoulders and handle it in a professional, business-like manner so that you can get on with the fun part of moving, which is, of course, searching for your new home, packing up, moving, all that kind of stuff. The Kregner Group gets it done. You can call them today for a free consultation. Bo and his staff will come over to your house and tell you exactly what the plan is how they're going to get your house sold. Call today for a free consultation, 865-742-1035, or just visit Bo online at boknowshouses.com. When you find your new home, you're going to need a mortgage. Call my guy, Chris Burleson. He is the mortgage pro. Been in business for a long time. Central High School grad, UT grad. Chris did the mortgage on the new Stately Smith Manor. He'll do the mortgage on your new home as well. Maybe you're thinking about refinancing. You want to save a couple of percentage points on your interest rate. Chris can do that. Text Mortgage Pro to 48421. That's Mortgage Pro to 48421, or just visit Chris online at burlesonmortgageteam.com. That's B-U-R-L-E-S-O-N, mortgageteam.com, or call 865-388-7634. We'll take a quick timeout. When we continue, we'll get your Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question. We'll get to these phone calls as well. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the drive. Overreaction Monday, presented by the Phone Exchange, continues next here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive. It's time for the Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day. Brought to you by Rickard Ridge Barbecue, located in Cove Lake State Park. Online at RickardRidgeBBQ.com.
How many of the following games do you think Tennessee will win? We'll take Alabama out of the mix. We'll take Charlotte out of the mix.
Put them in there. Put them in there, Russ. Let's see who's got the stones to call their shot here on Monday.
No. If you want to pretend that we're going to beat Alabama, you go right ahead.
I won't concede.
How many of these four games do you think we're going to put Alabama and Charlotte off to the side for just a minute?
Okay.
South Carolina, Kentucky, Missouri, Vanderbilt.
I think we're capable of winning all four if we're able to get through Alabama with no more injuries.
How many do you think we're going to win?
Three of the four.
Which three? All of them except for Kentucky?
Nope.
Who do you think gets us?
Missouri. Hold on, wait a minute. No. I think South Carolina gets us down there in Columbia. Just because it's
ruining
Coach Crazy
Brandon Orick's road trip.
Can it be anyone but that
one? I mean, I'm sorry.
What do you think, Brandon? How many of those four?
I think two. I think you get Vandy. I'm going to say South Carolina.
I don't see any way Dooley outmaneuvers Jeremy Pruitt. I don't care if we do.
This is a hard one. This is a hard one. I'm with Brandon. I think we get at least two.
Yeah, and I'm with Bear. I think it's possible that we can win all four.
Yeah, it is.
But I feel
probably not likely. It's probably not likely that we win all four. But, man, I want to say three. I'd probably have to lean get like 2.5, I guess. But if gun to my head, I'd probably say two right now. But, man, I want to – you say you're not conceding against Alabama. I'm not conceding against Kentucky. I'm just not.
Neither am I. I mean, they can go to hell, Russ. You know what I mean, for real.
They're having a nice season. Benny Snell's a nice player. That quarterback has got a cannon. I get all that. Stoops is a solid defensive coach, and they've got some linebackers who are playing out of this world right now. I get all that. I'm not conceding to them, man. They're still Kentucky. They're still a bunch of losers, and they got to come to Neyland. And now that we have some hope, now that our faith has been rekindled in the direction of the program, I think Neyland ought to be rocking. And, man, I hope that's a night game. I hope that's a night game. I do not want Kentucky at noon in Neyland Stadium. I want that a 7 o'clock kickoff. I want it cold. I want it full of Tennessee fans. I want it loud. People all warmed up on Jack Daniels and Volunteer Vodka. And I want people to go up there and raise a ruckus and smack those dudes. Because they're still Kentucky and they're still a bunch of losers. They always will be.
I mean, if we beat South Carolina, I think that game, it would surprise me if Kentucky-Tennessee is not a 7 o'clock game.
That is your Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day. How many of these four games do you think Tennessee will win? South Carolina, Kentucky, Missouri, and Vanderbilt. 100 votes already cast at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter. 47% of the audience says 2. 38% say 3. 8% say 1. And only 7% of our orange-clad brethren dare to dream, dare to assume the impossible that Tennessee – it's not impossible, but 7% say we're going to win all four.
I mean, it wasn't impossible until we started hiring non-football coaching coaches. Idiots.
Rickard Ridge Barbecue, online at rickardridgebbq.com. Home of the best ribs in the Volunteer State, nay, the known universe. You check them out inside beautiful Cove Lake State Park. Again, rickardridgebbq.com if you want to see the full menu. Tell them the drive sent you. All right, how much stock are we putting in what we saw Saturday? Because I don't want to undersell it, but I don't want to oversell it either. Let's be honest. Auburn's a train wreck right now. Their offense is just as bad as they're bad. Their offense is a train wreck. Their defense is not living up to its billing, and they're in danger of having what we had happen last year, where the culture around the program is so toxic. There's infighting on the coaching staff amongst the players. Jarrett Stidham is not a leader for that team. You have to factor that. It's not like we didn't beat Alabama Saturday. We didn't even beat Georgia. I mean, we beat a team that, while very talented and was a top 10 team, that beat Washington to open the season. It's not the same team, right? They've fallen off the table, and we helped them, and I hate it for them.
I mean, when we looked at the numbers last week, we were ranking wise, offensive and defensively. What was it, Brandon? They had the 20th ranked defense. We had the 31st ranked defense.
And then
they had the 101st ranked offense. We had the 99. Oh, no. Flip. We were 101, and they were 99.
Yeah.
So I felt like it's a pretty even match, and I feel like, you know, we've gotten better on offense because, I mean, we weren't getting a whole lot of yards running the ball. I mean, that's a tough front.
It was tough sledding against those guys.
They're really soft on their back end. Like Alabama, I think, could put 50 on him. On the back end of their defense.
I'm sorry. It's been a little immature. What can I say? You see the Pruitt show yesterday?
No, not yet.
I saw the tie he was wearing.
Oh, I love the Pruitt show, man.
You think he's raiding his dad's closet for his ties?
Oh, it's so good.
You think?
I don't care that he is defiantly wearing Red Foreman's tie on the show. It's the same tie that people killed him for wearing a couple of weeks ago. He's like, to hell with you, I'm wearing it again.
No, this one was different.
And I'm wearing, it was a different tie?
It was same design, same stripe pattern. But
you bought two of those?
It was a different color.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that he keeps his ties tied at all times? He just throws it over his head? And
that's what I do.
Let me. Do you think it's a clip-on? Is it a clip-on?
No. No.
Is it a clip-on?
No. You're not going to start that rumor about him. He wouldn't wear a clip-on tie.
It's interesting that Brandon says it's a different tie because I jokingly said it looks like the kind of suit he bought on a 2-for-1 deal at Walmart. Maybe he did. There's like kind of the similar design.
What if it was a clip-on? He just yanks it off and tears his shirt off, and he just got a great cut-down Tennessee football T-shirt.
The one that he wore, 2 weeks ago? It had three colors. It was like red, yellow, and some other color I can't remember, and it was three alternating stripes. This one was blue and white, alternating stripes.
Brandon's eye for detail.
Who cares what he's wearing? I wish they'd let him come out there and just fresh off the field. Why are they going to make him dress up?
The revival of the coaches show. One of my favorite storylines of the season.
Any highlights from it? What did he say that was funny this time?
Oh, it was just great stuff. There's one part where he and Bob almost got a little testy there for a minute. They almost had a little bit of an argument.
About what?
I can't remember. I have to go. It was towards the end, and Kessling asked him something about...
Was it targeting?
No, it was something more general about, man, I wish I'd done my research on this one.
We do our research. Have you done your research?
It was something about, like, Kessling asked him, I don't remember. But and Jeremy Pruitt said, well, we did it last week, too. And Kessling was kind of interrupt him. He's like, no, I mean, but they're like, no, but I mean, I know what you mean, you idiot. I'm trying to tell you. He didn't call him an idiot, but it kind of got a little tense there for a second. Listen, Jeremy Pruitt approaches his coaching show the same way I approach taking my kids to the dentist. It's like 100% obligation, completely 100% disinterest. It's just something you got to do. Part of the deal, right?
Right.
A friend of mine who was involved with John Curry on one of his coaching searches that he executed in his 9 months for one of the lesser sports, I had a conversation with him a couple months ago, and he said Curry was always concerned about how a coach he would call this guy and ask him, what do you know about this guy? How is he with the media? How is he with the media? He always wanted to know what the image was going to be, how good the coach was with the media. You know what Philip Fulmer's concerned with?
Can he coach football?
Is he good at his job? Is he a good coach? Because Jeremy Pruitt, if we're being honest with it, probably not very good with the media. Which,
Nick Saban.
In a weird way, the fact that he is unpolished behind the microphone and on television, I think, endears himself. Now, the fact that he won the game, I mean, that's the number one thing. If he's 2-4 right now, people are probably sitting here giving him all kinds of advice. You got to wear an orange tee, man. Get yourself some new clothes. But
where's your orange, dude?
I think the fact that he doesn't give a damn about his coach's show, and he clearly doesn't want to be there, and he clearly wants to be watching film somewhere, people actually end up liking him more for not being polished. And just goes to show how lucky we were, man. Like, John Curry wanted somebody so badly who would fit the suit. He wanted, Greg Schiano up there looking handsome, not saying anything. He wanted Dave Borendoren. He wanted Jeff Brohm, whoever. Philip Fulmer, I don't even think he spent any time considering. Between Mel Tucker, Kevin Steele, and Jeremy Pruitt, when he's trying to decide who to hire, I don't think how they deal with the media, I would be surprised if Fulmer gave that even at 1 second's thought.
Huh.
I just don't think he cared. It's like, it's interesting, man. We really dodged a bullet there.
He had to hire who he think was the best person, I guess, to get us back.
All right. Quick break. The drive continues. Rickard Ridge Barbecue, smoking hot question. How many of those four games do you think Tennessee wins this year? South Carolina, Kentucky, Missouri, and Vanderbilt. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the drive. Back with more right after this.
The Drive. Sports Radio for real sports fans. This is The Drive.
Yeah, it was a trip, man. I guess, superstitious being that I am, I have to watch the game. Somebody's got to drive me.
Well, no, not just somebody. It's going to have to be Danica.
That's good.
You know?
That's good.
We just...
You call my wife Danica Patrick?
Yeah, based on what you just described to me, yeah. I mean, no offense, Mrs. S.
Looking over, she's kind of like... I feel the car lights start to vibrate. I'm like, does it always do that when I'm driving? And I'll look over. Well, she's doing like 90, over 90 miles an hour. I'm like,
need
woman.
For speed.
Like, I feel like I go pretty fast. I'm around 80.
Yeah, I don't like riding with
generally,
you.
Generally, but I'm like, this is kind of reckless. Need you to slow down a little bit. So anyway, I use my phone as a hotspot. I'm watching. What an age we live in, right? That I could sit there and watch the game on my laptop.
Do you have unlimited data on your phone?
And high definition. Oh, no, I'm going to get killed. High definition on my lap.
Is you watched a high definition stream.
Yeah.
Off your phone.
In my car.
For 3 hours.
Yeah. Well,
you probably got it. You would have been cheaper for you to fly to the game.
When we get to the mountains, we're going through like North Carolina, South Carolina. The cell phone reception gets...
Spotty.
Yeah. So I had to turn that off, and then I crank up the satellite radio. Another thing that like people would have, you know, the pioneers are like, oh, even in the late 80s when I'm like making that drive a billion times with like my brothers and we're in the backseat of my mom's station wagon, just miserable. And I'm listening to the Auburn guys. Rod Bramblett is their play-by-play. Oh, they were pissed. They were pissed.
Bob and Tim weren't on there?
I like to listen to the other. I don't know.
XM, if it's just playing the, like, did you listen to, like, the SEC channel? They pick up the home feed.
Oh.
They don't have two options, just whoever the home team is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was listening
to
Rod.
Were pissed.
Yeah, they were not having a good time. Not enjoying the game, Rod Bramblett and whoever his sidekick is.
Yeah, DJ Shockley didn't do too bad of a job on
the
TV.
He's all right. He's all right.
I didn't realize that's who that was until like the fourth quarter. My buddy told me.
Not bad. A lot better than Andre Ware.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
I feel like Andre Ware drinks at least 8 to 9 Bloody Marys before those
games. No, he doesn't, man. I've met him before. He's been on the show. Like, I've met him down at SEC Media Days. Yeah, only Heisman Trophy winner to ever appear on the drive. That's not true. We've had Danny Werfel on, too. And Peyton Manning. But I think –
You didn't have Peyton.
I do think that Andre Ware just doesn't really care. Not he's just very milquetoast, vanilla. That is the one thing that kind of pissed me off. Shockley, towards the end of the first half, when Garantano threw that ball up for Callaway, and the dude just like grabs his chest pad and like pulls him down. Obvious pass interference, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And they show the replay, and Shockley goes, oh, yeah, tugging on the jersey there a little bit. Those defensive backs always tugging on the jersey. I'm like, he's like laughing. Ah, ha, ha. I'm like, dude, this freaking pass interference. Like, we should have the ball 1st and 10 with a chance to throw in the end zone a couple of times. Anyway, we won the game, though. I was getting redneck mad that last minute of the game when – The Batuli play or that only took about 7 years to decide. That's good. That was healthy. That was a healthy replay process.
I mean, the problem was that it looked like all three were
we
guilty.
All three guys were targeting.
But now Batuli, they need to cut that clip out. and take it to wherever it is they do training videos, but that's pretty much that was textbook targeting. Not only did he lower the crown of his helmet,
I'm not going to argue about it. What I will argue about is like two plays later when they throw a quick out and we tackle the guy and he's like 2 feet in bounds and they stop the clock.
That was the one that got me.
Oh, I was Mandeville mad. Powell pissed off and Farragut furious. I mean, to tell you, I was hot, man. The touchdown where he kind of like juggles it around his back and Osborne catches it. That's one of those plays. If it was us, oh, yeah, that's a touchdown easy. But I don't know. I was surprised they didn't at least review it. Right? And it didn't. I mean, you just no problem with that? Easy touchdown? Do you even know what I'm talking about?
Mm-mm.
The last touchdown of the game?
I know what you're talking about. I think if it were the NFL, they would have spent 10 minutes reviewing
I thought they're supposed to review every scoring play. Like, I could see you could make the case, but if it's in the NFL, it's probably not a touchdown.
Yeah.
Because you got to complete the process. But, I mean, he had it longer than Jabbar Kaffney had it, but he did not, quote-unquote, complete the process of the catch. I mean, you could have made the argument that that was an interception.
Yeah, you definitely could have. And
well, like I said, if the shoe's on the other foot, that's us.
Right.
And they overturn it, we are indignant. Oh, my God. Like, what a horrible call. You can't overturn that. So, anyway, all's well that ends well. We win. Whew. Needed that.
Feels good, man.
Needed that around here. All right. Quick timeout. Hour number two of The Drive. It's Overreaction Monday. Hey, coming up Thursday, we're going to be live at Corner 16. The corner of Bob Kirby Road and Middlebrook. Brandon Orrick is already in a food coma, ladies and gentlemen. Come out and see us. Awesome spot. If you haven't been to Corner 16, you got to come check it out. We'll be there Thursday. I'll tell you more about it as the week rolls along here. It is The Drive. It is Fox Sports Knoxville. Hour number two coming up. The Drive.